This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Paul Spencer joins me on the program, the founder and editor of The Hook, online at readthehook.com. He has won statewide journalism awards for his investigative reporting about this very issue. And Hawes, you don't really burn the tread these days writing about water, but time was when... there was many of Midnight Oil that was burned exploring this issue, was it not?
Yeah, I used to think that the public had a very high threshold for the number of water articles it really wanted. And now I take a dimmer view of the public's thirst, as it were, for water.
Yeah, but of course this is a significant, arguably a historic day in Charlottesville. I mean, and I was telling Dee Dee Smith in the last half hour, I think when this story is written and we put a bow on this whole thing, that this is something students one day, university students, would actually study to understand decision-making, local government, public engagement, activism. It really has been a fascinating history here that's still in the making.
Well, it is pretty interesting. You know, one of the things that caught the attention of the Hook newsroom early on a couple of years ago or more was this whole idea of how much it would cost to dredge. And after we got wind of the mega millions that were being talked about as what it would cost to dredge the Rivanna Reservoir, I had to put down a revolt in the Hook newsroom. There were some reporters who were trying to pool their resources and buy a mudcat dredger and offer to dredge the reservoir. I kid you not.
Yeah. And of course, you're talking about the fact that years ago we had a consultant who said that dredging the South Fork of the Rivanna would cost upwards of $223 million, and now estimates are coming in of just a few million.
Yeah, you know, the most recent came just last week in the form of a salesman for Ellicott Dredging Company, which is based in Baltimore and has been selling dredges since 1885. It's not rocket science, says the guy. His name's Steve Miller, and he thinks he could put a dredge, not a mudcat, but a dragon model, he says is better for our reservoir. He says he can put a dragon there for a couple million, and you could dredge for about $1 million a year, and after 14 years, he says, you'd have as much dredged as the latest consultant says, you'd spend $34 to $40 million to dredge.
And that's only $16 million then.
$16 million. And then, get this. This is why I had to put down that revolt in the Hook newsroom. I just in the past few days, I just checked back with Luckstone and Clayton and Son. Luckstone for the price of sand and Clayton and Son for the price of topsoil. And what I found was that the retail price of those things, sand, a B-grade sand at Luckstone is $31.50 per cubic yard, and the cost for topsoil over at Clayton and Son is $55. So if you're only spending $10 per cubic yard to dredge, and the retail price is anywhere from triple to quintuple, no, what's the five thing?
I don't know. Five times.
Whatever. Then there's probably some wiggle room in there to make some money. I mean, what if dredging were free?
So you're saying that a market-based approach to dredging, which has been Mayor Dave Norris's proposed plan, is let's dredge a little bit at a time and sell off the sand and the dirt as we pull it out. You're saying that it might actually pay for itself and make money.
You know, that's my hunch, but that's just me personally. I'm not as big and important as the decision makers, and so who knows. But it sure, I have owned and operated some businesses in this town, and I have to admit I really wouldn't mind if somebody gave me the contract to dredge, or just the right to dredge. I could at least try it out.
We're talking with Hawes Spencer of The Hook, and Dave is on the line. Dave, you're on with Hawes. Go right ahead.
Coy, first of all, you do a great job, and I want to thank you for that.
Thank you, sir.
My comment is, you know, I believe that the 50 years will pass before we agree on a water plan.
You think so?
That's the end of my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it. That's one of good friends of the program. Hosnell, there's a lot of people, impatient with this, saying, we just talk something to death and study something to death. Critics would say, no, the studies that we've been doing over the last few years have brought a whole lot of information into the light that wasn't there before when the plan was made.
Well, it certainly smells like there's been some new information. The whole idea of dredging costing $250 million has indeed been shot down as potentially bogus or overly pessimistic, we should say. But one of the most powerful bits of information that I think has affected the plan is the amount of water we use. We wrapped up the year 2009 with the lowest water usage on record, at least since I have records, and my records only go back to 1999, but we're using 28% less water than we were using back in 1989. And that's really dramatic. One of the things that gets lost in this debate is that we only use, and this is last year, we only used an average of 9.1 million gallons per day, and our system has the capacity of almost 13 million gallons per day. So we're well within our usage. Now, we didn't used to be. We used to use a lot more, and so we were really right at the edge. But I guess the combination of low-flow appliances in our houses and showerheads and toilets and things like that has combined with a little bit of a reluctance to water the lawn every time there's a dry spell. I mean, we are in one of the greatest droughts that we've had in recent years, and our reservoirs are mostly full, and you notice that unlike other localities, we're not having any water restrictions.
We're talking with Hans Spencer of The Hook, who's been investigating and following the water supply debate for many years and has won statewide journalism awards for his investigative reporting. Hans, what's the significance of the public hearing tonight in the city?
Well, I got to admit, it kind of caught me off guard. I think that the mayor's hand got forced by one of his fellow councilors who pushed the issue onto the agenda. It's my understanding that any city councilor can put a matter on the agenda. There are only five city councilors, and so anyone who put it on the agenda must have known that he or she had the three votes necessary to win passage of the plan, which, that's what we were hearing, and it'll be interesting to see if that coalition of 3-2 withstands what appears to be an onslaught from some city residents who might be a little uncomfortable with some of the spending that this water plan entails, because it does depend on a cross county pipeline that's never been given a pathway, a route, or a full cost estimate. That's the 9.5-mile pipeline that runs the water uphill. And in this community, which is pretty thrifty with water according to national standards, in fact, we use only 39 gallons per day, whereas the big city that uses the least is Boston. They use 41 gallons per day, so we're doing even better than Boston. And they've got industry. We don't really have a lot of industry, probably heard.
Now, that's one of the gorillas in the room, of course, Hawes, is the pipeline, this new proposed water supply plan, the new dam, the new reservoir at Ragged Mountain, does not work without that pipeline, and yet there's very little we know about the pipeline, the route, the cost, any of that.
Yeah, early on, one of the engineers working on this whole thing admitted in a memo that the dam without the pipeline, it actually delivers less water than dredging, and so it does seem like there's a lot of new information, although I should point out that the chairman of the Chamber of Commerce recently put out a press release that said little has been added and nothing significant has been demonstrated to cause our community to walk away from the 2006 unanimous public approvals of the water supply plan.
So, I don't know what reports he's reading. Let's go to Chris. He's online, too. Chris, you're on with Hawes. Go right ahead.
Hey, I was calling in opposition to y'all's views. I heard on the radio yesterday or day before that Orange, again, has restrictions on their water. And this whole debate started when we had our drought back in 2002, and Orange ran out of water. They had no water back in 2002. So they're headed that way again. I just drove over the reservoir about 3 hours ago, and that's starting to go down now. It's probably about 3 or 4 feet down. And that's the whole reason that this is kind of being talked about. So when you talk about demand, that's not really the point. The point is we don't want to run out of water. And I'll just sign off and listen to what you have to say.
Chris, thanks for the call. Hawes?
Well, I mean, he's certainly got a point. Orange has much weaker water resources for their demand than Charlottesville-Albemarle does. And if he's seen that the level of the water of our main reservoir has dropped 3 or 4 feet, that's what reservoirs are there for, to draw down when you need them. But we are entering the lower use months of the fall and winter, when people really don't water their lawns as much and they don't fill the pool and the slip and slide and the things that really consume the wintertime just is not going to eat up as much water as the summertime grass watering. That's kind of the big thing. So I don't dispute anything he says. It just doesn't necessarily mean that you have to build a new reservoir, but I don't really have a dog in the hunt.
Well, see, his question, Chris, it seems to imply that the people who are opposed to the existing 50-year water supply plan are somehow against finding more water, and that couldn't be further from the truth. It's just what route to water, what's the proposed route that the sides are advocating, and the critics of the existing plan are advocating, as I understand it, more dredging, more fiscally responsible, conservative, less spending, more dredging and maintenance of our existing water supply rather than abandoning certain reservoirs and building a whole new one.
Right. We may not need that water supply today, but we're going to in some number of years. Now, the Citizens for a Sustainable Water Plan have said that we won't actually need to really get rolling on dredging for several more years for water supply. But one thing that I think they agree with is that the reservoir is going to be compromised if you don't hurry up and dredge it now, because so much of it is sandbarring in. If you've been in the upper reaches of it near, like, Ray's Ford Road, you can see that it's shrinking almost on a daily basis, where it's just becoming a smaller reservoir. And once plant life takes hold, your dredging operation becomes much more difficult. You would have to get into a mechanical dredging. As long as you can dredge in the wet areas, you get to use these sweet hydraulic dredges like the Mudcat and the Dragon, which have air-conditioned cabins and all kinds of cool sound systems. So I don't know if I can really, like, be in the dredging business, but I have to admit I'm a little tempted, Coy.
Yeah, we're talking with Hawes Spencer of The Hook. Hawes, what's your read on the city council? There was one article at The Hook about the critical vote of Satyendra Hooja.
Yeah, it's long been widely perceived by his public statements that David Brown, he's the one who told us that all the conservation we can do easily has already been done, low-hanging fruit, I think he termed it, and that Kristen Zekos, who's campaign manager, has been beating the drum pretty hard for going for the dam pipeline plan, that they have been the votes in favor of the dam pipeline plan, and that Dave Norris and Holly Edwards have been against it. I mean, definitely Dave Norris. I mean, he's sort of built his career on questioning the official plan. And so that leaves Hooja. Where's Hooja going to vote? Satyendra Hooja, you may recall that name. He was the longtime planning boss for the city of Charlottesville. And then a couple of years ago, he won election to city council. And when you have a five-person body, that swing vote is very powerful. So all eyes will be on Satyendra Hooja tonight. I did speak with him a couple of days ago. He claims he has not made up his mind. He even told me he hoped that they wouldn't vote because he really wanted to soak on the opinions and the ideas presented by the citizens.
We're talking with Hawes Spencer of The Hook. The big public hearing is tonight at 7 o'clock, and in just a few minutes, we'll talk with city spokesman Rick Barrick and get some details of tonight's big meeting. You going to be there tonight, Hoss?
I am going to be there. I'll be the dweeby guy with the reading glasses.
So do you expect, here's a question for you, do you expect any kind of vote tonight? Because, you know, I think some of the local media has been remiss in saying that there will be a vote tonight. We don't know if there's going to be a vote tonight or not.
You know what I like about radio? You can just say anything. And I'll bet you they vote, and I bet you they vote for the dam pipeline plan. And I bet you the Nature Conservancy that designed it clinks champagne glasses, and then I bet they get sued. But I'm just guessing. I don't know.
Who gets sued?
I don't know. Somebody. Sue everybody!
We'll see. So, and Hoss, before we let you go, somebody listening might be scratching their heads. The Nature Conservancy, what do they have to do with this whole thing?
Well, I went to a talk a few months ago by a guy named Brian Richter, and he apparently is the director of something called the Freshwater Initiative, and he's based here in Charlottesville, and he hopes to use the stream conservation work that you heard Liz Palmer talking about on your previous segment as kind of the basis for a national model. And I think the citizens are pretty upset because they're saying, hey, don't use our money, our water bills, for your national model, pal. He actually gave a lecture where he showed that his plan would unnaturally augment the flows of the Mormons River to greater than natural levels in the summer, but would prevent them from falling quite as precipitously as they fall during other months of the year when the thirsty citizens of Charlottesville are having a little drink.
So the Nature Conservancy makes the Mormons River something of a poster river, and they go out and raise money on the backs of the river that they quote-unquote saved with our water rate money.
And thus the outrage.
Hawes Spencer is the founder and editor of The Hook online at readthehook.com. Hawes, we'll see you tonight. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.